Come back to the Word. We have been pursuing our heavenly calling to enter God's Sabbath rest. The pursuit of God's Sabbath rest is the pursuit of God Himself. And we learn that this pursuit requires sanctification by the Holy Spirit and by the Word. Obedience is our human response to sanctification to take place and to be complete. Obedience to the Holy Spirit and to the Word sounds so simple. We jump in with both feet and try to obey with all our might and power. First, we seem to succeed and we become proud. But not long after, we thought we have conquered. What we thought we have conquered would come back to haunt us. And then only then do we realize that obedience to the Holy Spirit and to the Word is different from obeying your mom and your dad, obeying human parents is different from obeying God. For example, if I close my eyes after reading a passage and I want to concentrate and understand the passage, I could do that in 5 minutes, and then my mind would wander off into other subjects in life. If you haven't tried, you know. If you set a time to pray, there's always something that comes in between you and the time to pray. It will always happen. Doesn't matter whether you do it 5 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the evening. There's always something that wants to take you away from praying. And if you are so strong that you actually force yourself to get there and pray, you find that your knees begin to bother you after 5 minutes. And you wonder what is happening, why it is so hard to pursue God, to pursue holiness, to pursue a life in the presence of God. That's because we as human are weak, and we are weak. That's why we need someone who's strong to take us through. The passage today is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. If you have your Bible, turn there. We'll read the passage and know that the Lord Jesus is the only one who can help us through our weakness. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's pray. Father, in the last 2 months, we have been pursuing our heavenly calling, and you have been calling us to obey. And we did try, and we recognize our weaknesses. So your Bible, your Word, lead us to Jesus. Help us to understand this passage, and help us to understand our Lord Jesus in our lives, so that we would grow in our pursuit of you in a deeper and more intimate relationship with you and with our Lord Jesus. Be with us and guide us through our study today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about the weaknesses that we all experience as human as we pursue God. And I also want to talk about Jesus helping us through our weaknesses. Hold on to hope. Hold on to faith. And the call that we have been hearing the last 2 months or so. Holding on is a very simple word, a word that we all understand. Yet it is so hard to practice consistently. We can hold on for a while, hold on for a day. If we are able to hold on for a month, we will ultimately let loose. Our mind would wander. We would fall off from holding to hope and holding to faith. I have told you about my wife and my journey in the pursuit of God. I experienced the call, and then we struggled with that call. You're familiar with that. Maybe some of you would assume that Pastor had made it. He had given his life away. The worldly is now behind him, and now he's just pursuing God. And so the temptations are off his back. Well, it's far from it. The struggle for materialism continued to plague our lives. Even now, my wife and I still talked about, what if we own a home? What if we buy another beautiful car? My wife has a green thumb, and so for the last 10 months that we have been here in California, we have talked about, what if we have a backyard that she can plant flowers and things like that? And at our age, we began to have conversations about life and death. What if one of us die? What would happen? These what-if conversations has a common denominator. And that common denominator is our weaknesses as human. They are so real to us. They confront us daily. We have this eternal hope, yet we do not fully understand. We are called to seek heaven, to talk about the things above. But we cannot concentrate on it. I long for eternity, yet my experience exists in time. I talked about the past, I talked about the present very well. I can even venture into the future. But really, all I can grasp is this worldly life. And to talk about eternity, something that is without time, something that is boundless. The human mind cannot grasp. And if you cannot grasp, it's very easy to wander off. God created this world for us, and the world we know is a good world. We know that it is good because God said it is good. And we live it, and we experience it, and we know it is good. Our minds are set to what is good, but never for what is best. Heaven is the best, but we haven't been there. We haven't lived. We haven't experienced it. And so we cannot capture it with our mind. When Jesus talked about the best, when Jesus talked about heaven, the kingdom of God, he has to give in two parables to explain. And one parable won't do. Two parables won't do. 10 parables won't do. Because the human existence, the human language, just cannot capture the beauty, the best of what God has to offer. And even Paul, in God's presence, with God's abounding love, allow him to see heaven. And Paul said, there is no word to explain the beauty that is there. There's just no expression. when the Lord Jesus talked about the new birth that we are going to have in him, there's no way to explain that new birth, the birth through the Holy Spirit. So he used wind to explain it. You cannot see, you can only feel it hit you. And so with our human weaknesses, to capture on something that is eternal, something that is of the heavens, we fall short. And something like sanctifications, holiness that God has given to you, God has given to me, and that in Jesus and by obeying the Holy Spirit and obeying the Word of God, we will be sanctified. We long for that. We seek that. We jump in with 2 feet. We pursue it by reading the Bible. We pursue it by praying. We pursue by trying to live a holy life. We separate ourselves from people who are not holy. We separate ourselves to be with people in the church who have talked about the heavens. We can do that very successfully on one level, and that is the level of the body. But we find in ourselves that there is something inside you and inside me that is not quite able to get there. You know, I am reminded of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And when Jesus came to Peter, Peter said, "No, no, you shall never wash my feet." When we first taught about sanctification, we feel like that, that we could go in and live this life and pursue it, and then we wash ourselves clean before God. Only then the Holy Spirit will prompt us to say, "No, you need Jesus. You need Jesus." We try without might and power. Our minds wander off into dirty thoughts about other people. But Jesus tells you and me to go with people who are sinners and to bring them. But at the same time, when we pursue holiness, we feel like we need to be separate from them. How could we be separate and then win them over? If you win them over, you need to be with them. And when you are with them, how can you be holy? The struggle there is profound. And if we succeeded separating us, our hearts return to material things. Like Jesus told the Pharisees, "You love money. Confess it. You love money. You love status. You love fame. You love praises." And Jesus said, "You can't go to heaven like that." In our pursuit of holiness, we confront that reality. On the outside, we may look clean. On the outside, we are attending church. And we tell people we go to church, and people can observe us praying and reading our Bible, and that is easy to do on the outside. But checking out from the inside, what is your heart? And our hearts are telling us we're not there. And so that's when the Holy Spirit leads us back to Jesus. You need Jesus. And Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." And so we said, "Okay, Jesus, wash me, cleanse me." So we come to Jesus, and there we receive mercy and grace. Mercy is forgiveness. Grace is renewal. And so the Lord Jesus will forgive us time after time, 100 times a day, 1,000 times a day. He will forgive us and give us renewal to start over again. Now, if you do that, and continue to go back to Jesus day after day, praying to cleanse you of your lie, to cleanse you of your bad thoughts about people, bad thoughts about things, or that your mind keep going back to money or fame or other things. Pretty soon you will feel ashamed. Lord Jesus, for years now I have been coming to you asking you to help me not to lie. And that remained in me all these years. I am so ashamed of doing that. My mind had been on money all these years, even though there are times I don't think about, there are times I feel like I can live without money, but I'm always coming back to money again, and fame, and education, and a good life, and all these things keep coming back to me again. I feel so ashamed to always come to you and ask you to forgive me, and ask you to cleanse my conscience. That is when you ask Jesus to give you transformation. It is then that Jesus will ultimately transform you and make you holy like the Son of God. And when you experience that holiness that is God in you, that is the holiness that God wants you to have actually taking place in your life, that is when you know that it is so good, it is so wonderful, it is what Jesus is talking about, and you try all your life to experience and you never experience it until that transformation takes place in your life. I remember Chuck Swindoll talking about living sacrifice. You know, living sacrifice is a live animal that you take to the altar. You know why they always bind the animal? Because the animals have feet that the animal can jump off the altar and walk away. It is easy for an animal because we bind the feet. It is so difficult for you and me because God do not bind you and me. God bring us to the altar, set us there, one to make us holy to God. We will jump off the altar and walk away. The only one that he brought to the altar and doesn't walk away is his Son. So he cannot get you, he cannot get me. Take his Son, sacrifice his Son. We look at that picture and we can either laugh at God or cry for ourselves. And if we laugh at God, there's no salvation. But when we cry for ourselves that we cannot remain there for God to make us holy, and it takes the death of God's Son that will make us holy, then we cry for our sin and we commit ourselves to God. And in Jesus, we receive transformation. In Jesus, we receive the image of the Son of God in us, and only in Jesus. Right now, we are physically in the sanctuary, and our minds are thinking about what we need to do right after church, right? Some of you are thinking about the ball game tonight. Going to get there. Don't you feel guilty that today is the day of rest? And God said, don't plan anything, just enjoy. Now a lot of us here, we have fellowship after service. Right? some of you just get out of here, get into your car and spit off. I don't say this to make you feel guilty, or maybe a little. But I really say this to apply the message. God give you the whole day for you to enjoy, for you to rest. You cannot rest. You'd rather do something. That's the human spirit against the spirit of God. And that happens in you, that happens in me. And until we are able to enjoy what God gives us in Jesus, that's when we enter into the holy presence of God and enjoy his presence. In my pursuit of God, there are times in which I was really able to come to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the holiness and his majesty and the glory that is present there when you are with God, and even when you're bending down on your knees and you don't feel your knee hurt anymore, and that your mind is not wandering anymore, and you're just there with God and just rejoice the moment with the Lord Jesus Christ, and for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it is the best that you ever felt of being a Christian. If you feel that, heaven is like that. It just has no end. And what Jesus is asking you to do, what God is asking you to do, is that holy presence is yours and it is eternally yours, and he wants you to get there. But to get there is not by your strength. It's not by your might. It is by the body of the Lord Jesus. It is by his blood alone. And that's why on the day before he went to the cross, on the night before he was betrayed, Jesus brought his disciples together to celebrate Passover, sacrificial lamb, to experience the sacrificial lamb. They take the bread, say, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take it. It's for your salvation, for my salvation." And they take the cup, and he said, "This is my blood on the covenant, the new covenant. Drink it, every one of you. It's for your salvation, for your sanctification, for you to become a son and daughter of the living God. To be able to experience the holiness of God, experience God in you only through Jesus." So let's bow our head. Lord, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. It is through your body that is broken for us, through your precious blood that has been poured out for our sanctification, that we are able to come and have access to heaven, to eternal life, to all the blessings in heaven and earth. Thank you. As we come to the table,